You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Harold. And hey, Liberty Grace, it is so great to see everyone and to see those of you who are in person. I can officially say this is the first time I've preached in the rain. So that's fun. And I'm thrilled that we're able to be back to doing in-person services again. I was saying this morning, because this is actually my second in-person service of the day, was saying this morning, I didn't even realize how much I miss meeting like this until I was able to actually meet in person with people again. So this is absolutely fantastic. And I'm so glad that we're able to meet here like this. And like was mentioned already in the service, this is the second week of our Homesick series, where we're going through this group of psalms that's called the Psalms of Ascent, these songs that were likely sung by pilgrims on their journeys. And last week, Daryl started this by taking us through Psalm 120. And I don't know about you guys, but I came out of that sermon feeling very challenged. It was a very weighty sermon. And I think the goal of what we talked about last week was to answer the question of what kind of world do we live in? And the answer to that question wasn't at face value the most encouraging or uplifting answer, was that we live in a world that is full of lies and hostility. And that really is so clear to see in our world. Each and every day, it seems there's something else that reminds us of that. But as challenging as that message was, I think it was actually such an important starting point for this series, going through the Psalms of Ascent that talk about this pilgrim journey. You know, one of my favorite books, probably other than the Bible itself, it is my favorite book, is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And I see a lot of similarities between that story and this group of Psalms. The entire story is meant to be an allegory for the Christian life. And it starts with the main character, Christian, finding himself in what's called the City of Destruction. And the story follows Christian as he leaves the City of Destruction and he's journeying to this great kingdom. And I feel like this series, in a way, it almost parallels that story. And so last week in Psalm 120, we were introduced to that city of destruction, the world around us. And I think it really does fit the title of this series of Homesick, because when we're faced with the reality of what this world is really like, it really does make us long for a better home, for our true home. It really does make us homesick. But that Psalm 120, that was just the beginning of this journey. It was really important to start there, understanding the world that we live in, so that we can better appreciate the journey that we're about to go on through the rest of these Psalms. So now that we've established what kind of a world we live in, we need to process what that actually looks like and what it means for us to live in a world like this. And so if last week we were answering the question, what kind of world do we live in? I think this week our goal is to answer the question of how do we live in this world? How do we as Christians, how do we as the church live and function within this world? And to do that, we're going to look at Psalm 121, which Harold just read for us. I think in this psalm, we get a really great answer to that question of how we live in this world. Right off the bat, it's a much more hopeful and uplifting psalm, like Miriam mentioned at the beginning. And as we look through it, I think we're going to see two main things in this psalm that help us to see how we live in this world of lies and hostility that we were introduced to last week. And the first thing that we see here, it actually jumps out right at the beginning of verse 1, where the author says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?" know, we live in a culture that's very individualistic. We place a very high value on independence and our own ability to sort of do things on our own, to handle things on our own. It's something that's encouraged and praised and valued in our culture. We don't want to have to rely on anybody else. We have this desire to really make our way on our own. I think that's a message that we see very frequently in our world, this idea that you just need to be the best version of yourself. You have everything that you need to live a great life inside yourself. You don't need anything else. We're constantly reminded of that message of independence. And I think if we're honest, a lot of that attitude of independence, wanting to do everything on our own, a lot of that actually comes out of pride, that we don't actually want to lower ourselves to the level of asking someone else for help, admitting that someone else may have something that we don't, that we need, somebody else's help. To admit that someone else might be able to help us in a way that we can't help ourselves is something that we try to avoid at all costs. And that's the attitude of our world. But that's not the attitude that's presented to us in this psalm. That's not the attitude that the psalmist has here. It doesn't start in that very strong or independent place with the author saying, I've got this. I can handle things on my own. I can do it all myself. The psalm actually begins in a place of weakness, with the psalmist in a low place searching for help. Because this psalm, it begins in the world that we were introduced to last week in Psalm 120, in this world of hostility and lies. And in the midst of that, the psalmist is searching for help. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? See, the psalmist, he's willing to admit that he's in a weak place in this world and that he needs someone. He needs someone to help him. I think really that shows us the first thing in this psalm that we need in order to live in this world is that we need to admit that we're weak and that we need help, that we're not able to do this on our own. You know, every day we're bombarded with the broken reality of this world, and it feels so wrong. It feels like there's such a weight every time you turn on the news, every time you go on social media. And I don't know about you, but I really need help to process that. There are so many days that I really struggle to make sense of what's going on in our world and understand why it's all happening. There are days that Elaine and I will be on social media and we'll just ask ourselves, like, what is happening to our world? We need help to make sense of all of the brokenness that exists around us and to find hope in the midst of that. And so that's the first thing that we need, is to admit that we're weak, to admit that we need help. You know, but that on its own is not enough. It's not enough to just say that we need help and to stop there. It's not enough for us to just say that we need something or someone outside of ourselves to live in this world, because if that's where we stopped, then we'd be tempted to look for our help in all of the wrong places. And again, we see that so frequently in our world. You know, we rely on so many different things to try to fill some type of hole that we have inside. So many things that we think will give us the help that we need. We can pursue things like money or relationships or alcohol or a better job or more popularity, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on and on of things that we try to find our help in. These things that we think, if we just have more of these things, if I just had more money, if I just had the right person or the right relationship, then I'd have what I need to get through life. But in reality, none of these things can actually give us the help that we need to live in this world. And actually, in the end, if we're relying on these things as our source of help in this world, we'll find they'll often leave us worse off than we were before. Because none of these will ever answer the question that the psalmist is asking in verse 1. None of them will ever truly help us to live in the midst of this broken world. And I know initially that doesn't give us much more of a hopeful message than we saw in Psalm 120. But thankfully, that's only the first verse. And as we move into verse 2, we begin to see things turn around a little bit. Because in the second verse of Psalm 121, the author here actually answers his own question. Verse 1 was asking, where does my help come from? And in verse 2, he says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That highlights the second thing that we need in order to live and function in this world. First, we need to recognize that we need help. And second, we need to recognize where our help comes from. And this psalm, it only gives one answer to that question. It's not a multiple choice you can pick from this list. It gives one answer, that my help comes from the Lord. Nowhere else. Nothing else that we rely on can actually give us the help that we need. Our help comes from God alone. And the rest of this psalm, it's dedicated to explaining to us who God is, why God is worthy of our trust, and how he provides us with help in the midst of this confused, upside down, backwards world. As we go through the next six verses, I just want to point out three different things that we see about God that are highlighted in this passage that show us that he is worthy of our trust. And the first thing that's highlighted at the end of verse 2 is the power of God. The fact that he is greater than everything in this entire world. It says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God is introduced to us as the maker of heaven and earth in this psalm. He made everything around us. He made the entire world. And to be clear, God did not create this world as the broken, mixed up world that's full of hostility and lies that we see around us today. He created it as a good and a perfect world. The reason that the world is the way it is today is because of our own choices and our own sin and our decision to live in disobedience to him. But still, God is the creator of this world, and he has the ultimate power over it. Nothing in this world could ever be greater than him. Nothing in this world could ever be a greater help for us than him. And nothing that we face in this world will ever be too much for him to handle. Now, Charles Spurgeon says that God, who created all things, is equal to every emergency. Heaven and earth are at the disposal of him who made them. Therefore, let us be joyful in our infinite helper. And that's such a beautiful truth, that our God is the creator of heaven and earth, and he has the power to help us in every single situation that we will face in this world. And the second thing that we see about God, the first is his power, and the second thing that we see is that God is in control in every moment in this world. In verse 3 and 4, it says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He will neither slumber nor sleep. We don't serve a God who's prone to taking naps. You know, when I read those verses, I'm reminded of the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, as these false prophets are dancing around their altar, screaming out to Baal, screaming out to this false god to listen to them, pay attention to them, send fire on the sacrifice that they've set up. And after a little while of them crying at the top of their lungs for Baal to hear them, Elijah begins to mock them and say, well, maybe Baal's asleep. Maybe you just need to yell louder, or maybe he's distracted. He's busy with something. You just need to yell a little bit louder. And I think sometimes you and I can be tempted to see God in that same way. You know, we know on some level that God is with us. We know that on some level that God cares for us. But during those especially difficult moments of life and in those seasons of life that seem so hard, it's easy to feel like God's taken a nap, or he's busy, or it's just gotten distracted. He's dealing with something more important. leaving us defenseless and vulnerable to the world around us. But that's not the God that we serve, and that's not the God that we see in this psalm. We serve a God who is always alert, a God who is always watching us and always caring for us in every single situation. He will neither slumber nor sleep. There's not one moment where he's lost track of us, not one moment where he's gotten distracted and stepped away from being our help in order to do something else. He's always with us, always helping us. And that doesn't mean that every situation that we face in this world will be easy. Frankly, it won't. I would be lying if I said that was the case, because we still live in this broken world, and we still have to face the reality of the broken world that we live in. And that means really hard days. But this verse, it shows that God is with us, watching over us, even on those hardest days. Even in those moments, God is our source of help, and he will help us to get through them. And that idea, it's brought back around again in verse 8, right at the end of the psalm. As it says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will keep our going and our coming from now until forevermore. There's not one moment when this world is out of God's control, not one moment that he's lost track of us or we face the trouble of this world without him. And that leads right into the third thing that we see in this passage, which is that God is our keeper. And that's the title that's given to God through the entire passage, that he's our keeper. He's also referred to as our shade. He's our protector and our shield as we live in this world. Verses 5-7 say, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. God is our protector in this world. And again, it sticks out to me, especially in verse 6, where it says that the sun shall not strike you by day, when God's called the shade at our right hand. Elaine will be able to tell you, I get sunburned probably faster than any other person on the planet. Like, I'm out in the sun for 15 minutes and I'm as red as a tomato. And it is really painful and not fun at all. So when I read something like verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, I think of something like sunscreen that protects my poor, weak skin from getting absolutely burnt to a crisp on a hot, sunny day. That's sort of the image that comes to my mind as I think of God as our protector and our shield in this world. And we have the image here of God as such an intimate protector in every moment of life. And there's such security that's found in the arms of God as our keeper. And God does for us what we could never do on our own. He protects us in the midst of the brokenness. He covers us and he shields us. We're never alone. We're constantly being helped. We're constantly being held by our Heavenly Father, who made the heavens and the earth and who is constantly in control in every single moment. We see the beautiful love of God on full display here in this psalm. It's the same love that caused God to look at you and me when we were still living in brokenness and sin, in rebellion against God, to look at us in that state and decide to send his son to die and take the penalty for our sins so we could have a relationship with him. It's the ultimate love shown in the ultimate sacrifice. And if that's how much God loves us, if that's how much love he has for us, that he would be willing to send his only son to die in my place, to die in our place, doesn't that give us confidence in this promise that God is our keeper and constant help in this world? If God loved us enough to sacrifice his son, doesn't he love us enough to be our shield, to be our keeper in this world? Now, he paid such a high price to redeem us. He poured out all of his wrath on his own son so that we could be adopted as his children. And he has promised that he will keep us and that he will protect us and care for us just like a good father does for their child. And so we see that in order to live in this world of hostility and lies that we were introduced to last week, we need to recognize our need for help. And we need to recognize where our help comes from. That our help comes from our powerful creator who's in control in every moment and keeps us like a loving father. But what does that actually mean? How does that change or impact how we live on a practical level? I just want to leave you with two quick thoughts about how this impacts our life. And the first is this, that when you're faced with difficult seasons in life, that when you're confronted with the broken reality of this world, and you will be confronted with the broken reality of this world, it is inescapable. But when that happens, cry out to God for help. Follow the example that we've been given here in this psalm to look to God as your source of help in the midst of the brokenness that we live in. You know, when we face these challenging moments, when we're confronted with this brokenness, our response shouldn't be to try to just handle it on our own. To think that we've got everything it takes, that we can deal with it. Our response should be to fall on our knees in prayer, asking God to be our help. So that's the first thing. And the second is to remind yourself of who God is. In the moment where the world seems to have gone so far off the rails, and you don't understand why things are the way that they are, you wonder where God is, remind yourself, God is your powerful keeper in control in each and every moment. Look into his word. Look into the scriptures to be reminded by God's own words of who he is, what he's promised to do, that he is the God who loved us enough to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross in our place, to take our punishment for our sins, and that he is the God who has promised always to protect us and always to help us in every single moment. And so this week, when you go back home and you're faced with the brokenness of this world, with the lies and hostility that are so prevalent around us, respond by falling on your knees in prayer, crying out to God for help. And looking into his word, looking into the Bible to be reminded of the God that we serve and the promises that he has made. Because in every situation, when we're at our weakest, we are helped by God, who is our powerful keeper and our constant help in every moment. God, I thank you so much that that's true. I thank you that you are our help, that you are our keeper. And Lord, I pray that this week, as we face the broken world around us, Lord, we would remember this psalm, that we would look to the hills and ask, where does our help come from? And then answer our own question, saying our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God, I thank you for how deeply you loved us to send your son to die on the cross in our place. Lord, we love you. It's a gift we could never be worthy of. And so I pray that this week you would be constantly reminding us of how much you love us, and Lord, that you are our constant help in every moment. We pray this in your name. Amen.